There's a battle for church, to stay in church. That's a battle. Amen. And we also battle not only for our mind but and for church, but we also have a spiritual battle that we have to fight. Amen. And so I want to minister to you on these battles. Amen. I'm going to be jumping around, but I'm not going to jump around. I'm going to be jumping around in the Bible. Amen. But we want to fight this battle for our mind, a battle for the church, and a battle in heavenly places or our spiritual warfare. There's an old European proverb. The old European proverb says this: age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. Age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. Have you ever been zealous to do something for God? On fire, ready to go. And you went out there and you did it, and then all of a sudden, as time goes on, you lost it. You're not doing it no more for God. You can blame church. You can blame people. You can blame your husband, your wife. But I want to tell you that people that are zealous for God have a battle. People that want to do something for God, they have a battle. There is a struggle. And age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. Age and treachery. Now, I want to tell you that Satan, the devil, is ancient and he is treacherous. There was a big flood that came, and it disconnected a scorpion from where he was going. And all of a sudden, this frog came hopping along. And the scorpion stopped the frog, and the frog backed up a little bit, and he said, "Hey, will you give me a ride to the other side of this river?" And the frog said, "Well, no. No way. You'll sting me and I'll die." And the scorpion says, "Look, I promise I won't sting you. I could hop on your back and you could jump across and get to the other side." And the frog said, "No way. You'll sting me and you'll kill me and I'll die." And the scorpion said, "If I sting you, then we'll both die. Why would I sting you?" And the frog said, "You can, halfway through, you can sting me. Three quarters of the way through, you can sting me." And the scorpion said, "Look, Mr. Frog, why would I sting you? I will die with you." And the frog thought about it for a moment, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to trust you." And he said, "Go ahead and get on my back." And the scorpion crawled up on this frog's back, and the frog began to jump from lily pad to lily pad, from rocks, things that were floating. And three quarters of the way through over the river, the scorpion stung him. And the frog stopped. And the poison started going through his body. And the frog said, "You said you wouldn't sting me. You told me. You promised." And the scorpion said, "I know, but it's in my nature. I had to do it." And they both died. I want to tell you, that's how the devil is. He may promise you everything. You may make promises to him, but in the end, he will sting you, and you and I will die. He is ancient. He is treacherous. Now, let me tell you, we fight against Satan, who is ancient and treacherous. He has been battling Christians for how long? At least 7,000 years. He knows what he's doing. Can someone say amen? The devil knows what he's doing. Amen. Now, who is he fighting against? Believers. Born-again Christians. If you're not a Christian, the devil's not fighting you because he's already stung you, and ultimately you're going to die. And if you die without Christ, there is an everlasting torment in hell. I'm not judging you, but that's what's there. Heaven or hell. Darkness or light. And so he is fighting against who, guys? Who's he fighting? Believers. You. people who come to church and love God, people who sing and worship God, people who play instruments. He's fighting against you. What is our strength as believers? We know the devil's strength. What's his strength, guys? Alcohol? No. No, those are our vices. Cussing, women, men, drugs, money. No, those are our vices. Those aren't his. That's not what he tempts us with. His power is in the time he's been fighting. That's his power. He has been in this battlefield against people like you and I for thousands of years. That's his strength. He's treacherous, like the scorpion. I promise you, leave your husband, leave your wife. It's going to be okay. And eventually we die. We lose because we believe him. You know what? It's going to be okay. If you don't serve God, you know what? You can walk out of here without Jesus Christ. I promise I'm not going to hurt you. And then he stings us. Our strengths. What are our strengths, guys? What are they? Do we have any? You know what our strength is? You know what the battle is for? Idealism. It's right here, guys. What is the education bent towards? Right here. Whoever holds the mind holds the heart that holds the body. Right here. Is the devil moved through gang members and prostitutes and drug addicts? No. Where does he move through? What is the Bible? The Bible, to many of us, are what? Words? No. It's life. Words that change our concept and our idealism. Words of life that teach us that we matter to God. Because right here, guys, is where the battle is. And the battle is won and fought right up here. So what is our strength? Idealism. You know what else we got is a strength of ours? Untested fervor. You know what that is? How many moms we got in here? Raise your hand. Come on, mamas. Raise your hand. Let's say someone was picking on your kid, literally pounding on him. What are you going to do, mama? You're going to fight, right? Mom has untested fervor. That means that there are things in her life. Hey, don't put that. Did you put that thing up yet? Don't put it up yet. There are things in her life that are untested. Men and women in this place, you have no idea how strong you are for God. Because you haven't been tested yet. The devil hasn't come against you as hard as you think he has. I want to tell you tonight, amen, that our strength is idealism and untested fervor. Zeal by itself will challenge hell. Zeal and passion will get you to fight and fight, but one day you'll get tired. And you won't fight no more. Many of us in this church here tonight, we have been battling and battling right here. But I want to tell you, your zeal alone is going to do nothing at all. There is a relentless satanic assault that will dim our dreams. Our dreams of whatever it is we want to do for God, the devil will assault it and assault it until our dream begins to dim and we don't have that dream no more. I want to tell you that you and I have a battle that we're fighting under the weight of frustration. Why? Frustration because what? Why are we frustrated? Who frustrates us? Why do we get mad? We get frustrated at people. Because people don't do and have what we have. Why are we frustrated? Because nobody serves God the way I do, is what Elijah said in the Old Testament. Where are all your prophets? How come nobody does and lives? And God says, Elijah, shut up. I've got all kinds of people who love me. Thousands of them. And so we get frustrated. We get discouraged. Why? Why do we get discouraged? Because the battle right here in our mind, because we start off fighting with zeal, we fight with this idea that, you know what, nobody can touch me. And the devil gets you and slaps you around a little bit. And what happens? What do? I'm not going to church no more. I'm not going to serve God no more. And we go to church, we put on the TV, and we worship God in front of a TV, in front of a man and a congregation of thousands that we don't even know, and he doesn't even know us. We go out and we help people that are hurting, and we think we're doing our duty to God. I want to tell you that the battle you're fighting to serve God is right here. Right here. And your strength is right up here in your ideas. It's just that, what ideas do you have? Your strength is that you haven't been tested yet. You haven't been called on to go beyond your feelings and emotions. You ever had a fight in church? You ever had an argument with someone in church? That's not fervor. That's pride. You get frustrated with people on your job. You tell them off. You stand up for yourself. All that is pride. That's the untested fervor. It's when the devil attacks you and God allows him to sift you and you don't give up. You get up with your family and you move on and you stand for God and you find out who you really are is when you're tested. When you're tested and you stand. I'm not talking about losing a job. I'm not talking about having marriage problems. I'm talking about when you're tested and the devil tests you and sifts you and you stand. That's your strength right there. Under the weight of frustration, guys, of discouragement, we begin to compromise. We begin to compromise in our minds. We allow these thoughts and these things in our lives that we didn't allow before. And let me tell you what comes with compromise. Iniquity. You know what iniquity is? It's not sin. Iniquity is an open door that now, because we compromise, our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers and our grandmothers, and the sins all the way back begin to come into our lives. We begin to be bound by alcoholism, bound by jealousy, bound by envy. We see the struggles that our mothers or fathers were in. Our mothers didn't have dads. We were raised in that. All of a sudden, we walk away from our problems and our children, and they're living what we lived because compromise. Because now we're so tired and frustrated. Let me tell you something. If you don't fight that battle in your mind, I want to tell you that you'll lower your compromise. You'll compromise. And when you compromise, iniquity comes in and spiritual bondage. Our minds get trapped. We're stuck. We don't even see that some of the sickness and battles we're battling with are because we compromised. Not because of the devil. Because we lowered our compromise. See, sin's not the problem, guys. I believe that sin, we're born into sin. There's sin all over the world. Sin isn't a spirit. It doesn't come from the devil. It comes from us. I can't remember the word. Sin has a purpose, and its purpose, it's a principle that we live. You ever raise your kids? You tell them, don't do this. Respect your mom. That's a principle. Sin is a principle. You live by it. You and I live by it. While no one's going to tell me what to do, that's sin. That's a principle. If someone hits you, you hit them back. That's a principle. Sin is a principle. And that's what it is. So it's not the problem. But I think the problem is ignorance. Are you with me tonight? Ignorance. Ignorant. You understand that better? Ignorant. Amen. Okay, stupid. That's the problem. Dumb. We're ignorant. We have no wisdom. We've got youth, zeal, strength, ideas, but we have no wisdom. Pastor, this is what I want to do, and I want to do this for God, and I want to do this for God. Whoa! you can attack hell, and they'll look at you, but it won't last very long. If you want to fight the devil, you got to have some wisdom. You've got to have some understanding. Are you with me tonight? Sin's not the problem. It's ignorance. The devil, we put Satan in a doctrinal box. Yeah, we do. Devil, you're red, you have horns, and you're ugly. Let me tell you guys something. Can you worship God and be an heir? Heck yeah. Can you, you know, the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. No, he is ugly and mean. And you know what? I am a Christian and I love the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. If we don't fight this battle up here, if we're not tested, you know what it means to be tested? I like using this illustration. When I was a young boy, I remember one time I was going to get in a fight and this guy came walking. And you know that people who want to fight, they don't talk. They walk up to you and next thing you know, you got stars and you're getting up off the floor. Well, this guy came up walking and I socked him and he fell down. And I remember I was like, yeah, what's up, punk? Well, he got up, like the song we sing. And he got up, he put his dukes up, he goes, boy, you're going to get your kick today. And I looked at him, and I remember he came, wah! I got dazed, and wah, wah, wah. I knew I was in a fight. And for 20 minutes, me and that kid fought. When was the last time you fought the devil? Oh, take my kids. Yeah, take my wife. Take my husband. Oh, Lord, yeah, fight the devil. When's the last time you punched him and he punched you back? He said, I'm going to be faithful to God. And all of a sudden, bam, he takes your job. I can't serve God no more. What happened? Where's all your zeal? Nobody lets me do anything, no. You ain't got no wisdom. You got all the zeal. You want to do something. And the devil says, whack, 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 whack. And what happens to us? What happened, God? Where am I going? Isn't it fitting? If you're going to be great, you have to have some great trials. Hello. I've been through hell, Pastor. I lost my house, my car. My dog ran off with the mailman. The mailman stole my dog. Can you believe that? Those ain't trials. You're not being tested. See, the devil, we put him in this doctrinal box. But let me tell you something. He don't stay there. He doesn't stay there. We say, devil, I'm going to serve God. You can't touch my family. Whatever. He doesn't stay in that box, guys. The devil can't touch you if you do this. You ever heard that? I remember my grandma, my grandma came over her house with holy water. And she was throwing holy water all over our house. And I remember, you know, there was such an attack on our family that we would wake up in the morning with bruise marks on our fingers and our backs. And we would say, what happened? And I remember my grandma used to say, the devil can't do this if you do this. And I would be like, but it's happening. The devil can't touch my job if I give. But it happens. So what's the problem, guys? What is the problem? I gave and I lost my job. How many ever had that problem? Anybody? I have. I was faithful. And I remember this guy gave his $77,000 to missions. Went back to his church that Sunday morning and lost his building. Him and his whole congregation were on the street. And they were telling him, what happened, Pastor? And I remember he was like, wow. I mean, he gave, and everyone was happy. They prayed at him across the altar, and then he lost his building. And it's like, what? Well, the devil just smacked him back. Are we mature enough to know that the devil has been punching on some of us? Hello? You're in a fight. Come on, are you cholos? You used to get down in the neighborhood. Well, what about now? How about how you are you headbangers? Are you crazy punkers? Are you radical, you know, hard rock dudes and potheads? And I beat up this drug dealer because took his weed and all that. What about now? Pray. Fight, guys. The problem isn't sin. The problem is that we're not fighting the battle in our minds. Amen. We're leading in our pride. We have an armor that we carry. It's a sinful armor. It's pride. Oh, because I do this right and I do this good. You're protecting yourself from God. It's pride. You know what? Trending? Trending. You ever see that? Trending. And then they show pictures of people. Trendsetters. Well, trending tonight is you failed to discern the assault of the devil. You failed to see that the devil was using your pride. Trending, I can't see what the devil's doing. Can you imagine that? Failing to see that the devil is destroying our lives. Jesus prepared his disciples. He got them ready. He prepared them for everything. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says this. Jesus told them, be wise as serpents, yet innocent and harmless as doves. Be wise as serpents. You got to know when the devil is poking at you. You got to know what he's using in your life to bring destruction. Because I want to tell you guys, God uses us, but I want to tell you that the devil uses us too. Okay. All right. Maybe we just haven't seen it. You want some more? I got more. You guys want some more? Amen. Because I got some more right now. But I want to tell you guys that we have to be able to discern. You know what it is that God gives us to prove our salvation? Discernment. With discernment comes wisdom. We know what to do. We know what to do. All right. Do you guys want victory tonight? If you want victory, say amen and raise your hand. I want victory. Okay. If we want victory, we need divine wisdom. We need understanding. We need to understand why we're where we're at. We need to understand what God wants us to do. We need wisdom, guys. We need to have a Christ-like innocence. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Be wise as serpents. Any of you guys ever play with a snake? Hey, they don't mess around. Right? They know what they're doing. God's saying you need to be wise. You don't need to just do whatever you want to do. Stop and think. Have some wisdom. And then be Christ-like. Be humble. Jesus knew when he healed somebody, what did he do? All right, everybody, we're going to take an offering. When all those people got saved and touched, when there was a miracle, what did Jesus do? I told you guys, didn't I tell you? I prophesied it. I did. Hey, I'm the one. Hello? When he got up and prayed and the disciples went to sleep, what did he do? Hello? I'm the only one that comes to prayer. Where's everybody at? How come nobody serves the way I serve? Did he do that? No. Why? He had wisdom. He prayed for wisdom. He told the disciples, be wise like serpents, but be gentle as an innocent, Christ-like. Now, I want to tell you guys, we can defeat the devil. I want to beat the devil up. I mean, I wish I could just say, you know what? Come on, guys. You know what? We're going to get some of the brothers. We're going to go to the devil's house, and we're going to kick his butt. I know where he lives. Wouldn't that be easy? Let's go get the devil. Let's kick his butt, beat him down, and it's all over. Well, it don't work that way. Hello. The battle is for your mind, guys. It's for your mind. That's what this whole battle, everything that we do. So we could beat the devil. I believe that. Tell your neighbor, we can defeat the devil. Tell him, I can beat the devil. Why is that so hard, guys? Why? Because it's what you know. That stops you from being bold enough to say, I can beat the devil. It's what you know. And what you know is tonight, I'm going to walk out those doors and I'm going to be the same old sinner. I'm going to be the jacked up guy or girl. I'm going to walk out here and still have the same feelings and emotions. So that's why it's hard for us to say, devil, I'm going to beat you. But let me ask you, what if your idealism? I'm free. I don't need to fornicate. I don't need drugs. I don't need that job. I don't need that money. I'm free. Devil, I'll defeat you because you don't have nothing on me. Now it changes. But because of what we know in our mind, we won't tell the devil, I'm going to kick your butt, because we know he has a foothold. Where? In our mind. In our mind. Only a pure heart can see God and gain discernment. Did you hear me? A pure heart, not a controlling heart. Not someone who is trying to control and trying to be, you know, in charge, trying to run the marriage, trying to run everything, trying to be everything. Not that kind. But a pure heart can see God. A pure, how do you get a pure heart? How do we do that? Well, our heart usually is the seat of our emotions. It gets corrupt. It gets corrupt by what we think on, what we start just constantly thinking about. And so there's no shortcuts, guys. There are no shortcuts in spiritual warfare. You and I keep entering our battles blindly. Our battles, we're walking into them blindly. Well, pray for me. I'm going through something. Why are you going through it? Why? You ever just said, why am I going through this? What? Why is my daughter or my son, why? What is it, God? Show me why. Instead, we're going to get the devil, we're going to pray. Why? Why are we going through what we're going through? Why can't I kick this addiction? Why? Wow, this is the way. That's your idealism. That's the foothold the devil has on your mind. This is the way I'm going to be. People tell you all the time. When you tell people you're a Christian, the first thing they say is, well, I don't believe the whole Bible. Why? Because the Bible attacks our idealism, what we believe, the system, what money is, the value of money, the value of our marriage. The Bible says that God holds marriage high and strong. The Bible says that God says, bring your money and give to me and I'll break your poverty. Amen. But see, our idealism, it holds us bound. And that's what the battle here is. You want to beat the devil? Get your mind washed out with the word of God. And you'll beat him down because you have wisdom. You know. At the height of every man's ministry, Satan will be there no matter how much success he has. At the height of your ministry, the devil will be there. At the height of whatever you're doing, Satan will be there. And he'll be there to tell you, you deserve it. You deserve all this money. You deserve all these things. You deserve everything you got because you're a child of God and God blesses you. Come on, somebody. Adam was in paradise, guys. He was in paradise, and he fell. Hello? Solomon was the smartest, had all the wisdom in the world. The Bible says that Solomon gazed on the glory of God. He gazed. You know what that is, to gaze? When I gaze at my wife. I look at her, I'm like, gaze. When was the last time you gazed? He gazed on the glory of God. God's glory was there, and he looked, and he gazed. His soul sucked that in. He became connected with God, and he fell. He fell. May I remind you, Lucifer was once in heaven, and you know what he was doing in heaven? He was pouring out praise to God. He was singing to God, and he was pouring out praise. And in the midst of all that good stuff, that idiot fell. And let me tell you something. I'm working on some sermons called Jerks of the Bible. Jerks of the Bible. I'm telling you, man, it's when you and I don't allow God, when we don't fight our battles, I'm glad I'm the oldest. I am, because I got beat up on, I got picked on, I fought. I learned how to fight my own battles. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a mom. And you know what? I'm so glad, because this is one thing I learned. You got to fight your own battles. You do. You got to get a hold of God and work out your own salvation. Your problem is not that you married the wrong guy or the wrong woman. Your problem is not that you can't hold down a job. Your problem is that you won't fight. You won't go down, get down and fight. And that's the only way. That's the only thing we have, guys, is untested fervor. You've never been in a real spiritual battle for your soul. And so you've never allowed God to call you out, to bring you out of that. Now, I want you to understand that Satan has been deceiving people for how long? Anybody? At least 7,000 years, right? He's pretty good at it. Am I right? Now, you and I, we have a short time here. Hey, you know, that blows my mind. The devil has been deceiving people for thousands of years. You've only been here for what? 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years? And you got it all together. Huh. Yeah. Hello. Hello. The devil has been doing it for a long time. You and I, a short time, but we know it all. We know exactly what God wants to do, how he wants to do it. Let me tell you guys something. Amen. There has to be humility in our lives with the wisdom God gives us. All right. I get it. Let me move on. What Jesus was telling them, to be bold but not arrogant. You know what it is to be bold and not arrogant? Is that you know something, and you speak it and say it, but you don't fight over it. That's what he's talking about. Well-meaning but ignorant Christians. We become well-meaning. This is our battle, guys. It's a battle in the mind. I'm well-meaning. Let me tell you guys something. I shared this a while back. I remember talking to someone, and this is what they told me. They said, well, I'm sorry for being heavy-handed, but not my intent. That's not an apology. It's not an apology. That's just being arrogant with the wisdom. I have a right to say and do what I want to do because I know that. Jesus said, be smart, but be humble. Come on. Okay, well-meaning Christians, well-meaning but ignorant. Proverbs 20:18 says this, prepare plans by consultation, make war by wise guidance. Let me say it again. Prepare your plans by consultation, but if you're going to make war, do it by guidance. Prepare your plans by wise consultation. Ecclesiastes 9:14-15 says this. There was a small city with few men in it, and there was a great king, and he came to it. He surrounded it, and he constructed large siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. You want victory? We got to get smart, guys. We need some wisdom. A poor wise man defeated a great king with a big army. Don't we see that over and over again through the Bible? Elijah, Isaiah, David, God made him great and big and did great things, but no one came against him. It was when they were small and insignificant and little. And then what happens? 400 years after Malachi, what happens? a little insignificant baby's born. No one to protect them, right? Come on, somebody. Today, people are predicting our destruction of America, our nation, how it's going to collapse, our cities. But they've never considered the power of Christ in you. Let me tell you guys something. Don't be fooled by all this. The world, America is backslidden. You know what? They're not considering how powerful Jesus is in you. Let me tell you something. Yeah, it's bad around you, but Jesus is in you. He's in you. Let me tell you, yeah, it's hard. People are jacked up, but no one ever takes time to consider who's inside of you. Jesus is in you. Jesus is in every single one of us, born again. And you know what? No one looks at that. Everyone looks at the struggle. Everyone looks at all the bad things. But let me tell you something, guys. This is a time where that fervor, that strength, that inner power that only Jesus Christ can give, it's not human, but it comes through salvation. And we get tested. Ecclesiastes 9:16 and 18 says this: wisdom is better than strength. Verse 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. See, the battleground here is our mind. This is where the battleground is. It's our mind. Do you guys realize, where was Jesus crucified at? The location, anybody? What? Golgotha? Golgotha. That's where he was crucified. Do you know what the Greek, it's a Greek word, Golgotha, the translation is? The place of the skull. He was crucified on a place called the skull. Golgotha. I want you to consider with me tonight the first battle that you and I have. And the battle, the first field of conflict, is the mind. Right up here, guys. It's the mind. It's a territory of uncrucified thoughts. Thoughts that we have in our mind that we have never dealt with. Thoughts of poor me. Thoughts that, you know what, I don't want to be in this marriage. Thoughts of, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be on this job. All these uncrucified thoughts. Thoughts that we never took and said, you know what, I'm not going to think this no more. Uncrucified thoughts. This is the beachhead. This is where the devil attacks us. Uncrucified thoughts. Let me tell you guys something, okay? You got to get your eyes and your heart on Jesus Christ. You really do. And I want to tell you, I have dealt with people for years that I didn't hurt them. Someone else hurt you. And I'm here in front of you, and you act like I hurt you. Those are uncrucified thoughts that you have to get, throw down. That husband that you have, that wife you have, they didn't hurt you. They're not your mom. But because we have uncrucified thoughts of our dad, our mom, our uncle, guess what, guys? That's a foothold for the devil. That's where he comes in and he begins to destroy our lives. We have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Translation, check your attitude. Check your attitude. Pride and the darkness within. Put that picture up now because I want to preach on pride. I'm going to close this on pride. Pride. Where's that picture? Sometimes it's hard to open your hand, but you need to. We need to let pride go. I'm talking to every one of us in this place, men and women. There's pride that leads us. It is an uncrucified thought in our mind that we've held, and that's where the devil has come in and destroyed relationships, destroyed families, and we need to deal with those tonight. Uncrucified thoughts. You know, the Bible says that the devil, he's in darkness. Satan works in darkness. Wherever there is spiritual darkness, that's where the devil is. Wherever there's spiritual darkness. Where is the devil, Pastor Ronnie? Wherever there's darkness. Outside? No, not the absence of light. but spiritual darkness, uncrucified thoughts, thoughts that we have never dealt with. See, you want to prepare for war? Let me tell you what war isn't. War isn't a wild, crazy zeal, rushing and bombarding all the doors out. You know what war is? War is when you stop and you crucify all those ugly thoughts that you and I have been having. And we bring them down and in the name of Jesus, acknowledge them and pull them down. That's war. I'm just unfit. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good father. You know what? It's time that you fight. Because what you think is the way you act. You know that, right? Check your attitude. Let your mind be renewed. See, we never, ever initiate spiritual battle, guys. We don't. Even people that initiate spiritual battle, let me tell you something. Usually, the devil initiates the battle to us. We don't do it. Well, we go knock on doors, we go outreach. That's what you're supposed to be doing, but that's not a spiritual battle. When was the last time you initiated the battle? You went to the devil's door. Hey, you big dummy. I'm not going to listen to you no more. And you reached into your mind in that darkness, and you begin to crucify those thoughts and kill them and get rid of them. And let me tell you something. If someone hurts you, I can't forgive. I've been hurt so much. You know what? Kill that thought. You need to get up in that mind of yours. Pull that thought down so that you stop projecting all of your hurt from all the people that have hurt you onto the people that are around your life today. Kill the thought instead of killing the people. Hello. Discern. Let me tell you guys, we're smart people. I'm not preaching to dumb people. We're smart. But let me tell you something. You have to discern the areas of your own nature that are unguarded. Let me tell you guys. Can I say this? Can I be honest? No? All right, let me lie to you. I'm kidding. You know what, guys? We are so quick to discern other people's bad attitudes. And we never discern our own. Have you ever considered how you come across? I don't like the way he comes at me. I don't like that. Have you ever considered the way you come across? Because in order to fight the battle up here, you have to discern your own nature. What type of person you are. Your own attitudes. Because when you do that, then you understand why people go through what they go through. Someone could cuss you out and you won't be mad at them. Matter of fact, because you've discerned your own foul nature, you'll look at them and say, you know what, it's cool. And a week later when they apologize, you make it easy for people to apologize. Why? Because you've discerned, you've pulled down your own thoughts. We have a world today that people will not apologize. And I'm going to tell you why. Because people make it hard for others to apologize. Because we don't discern our own darkness and our own thoughts. And so what happens is, why am I going to apologize to some prideful dude or girl? Why am I going to go and admit? Because all they're going to do is, I told you so. Because we don't have the battle. We haven't fought that battle in our minds. And so, where are you open to attacks? Oh, the church, whatever, where are you open at? Maybe you're open to attacks because you're so prideful that you're able to pinpoint things in people's lives. That's your attack, judgmental. Where are you open? Where am I open? Jude verse 6 says, and the angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. There were angels, guys, who overstepped their boundaries that God said, okay, come on. And they put them in where? Where did he put them? In darkness. The Bible says darkness. Where does the devil, where does he live? Where does he work? In darkness. That's where the devil works. Where is the darkness? National City. I'm just kidding. Where is the darkness? It's up here. What are you thinking about right now? What battle do you have right now that you can't respond to God? See, the Bible tells us that angels overstep their bounds. You want a picture of that? Remember King Saul in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel? The people said, we got to worship God. We got to worship God. And Saul knew we got to wait for the prophet. But let me tell you what Saul did. He figured, well, I prophesied before. I'll do it. And he killed and he sacrificed. And when Samuel came, he said, the Lord has taken your authority away from you this day. And Samuel turned around and Saul grabbed his robe and a piece was torn off. And that was the picture. Can I humbly tell you guys, if God uses you to prophesy, it don't mean you're the pastor of this church. If God uses you to give a word, if you're taking care of sheep, there are sheep, not your sheep, and you're our sheep. You are our sheep. And you take care of them, and you have the authority to teach them. You don't have the authority to pastor them, just to teach them. Oh, man, I had to put some sermons together, honey, on that, because I could feel it right now. You're our sheep. All of you are. I blows my mind because my family's in our church. They're our sheep. If you ask my kids, I have two hats. My brother-in-law's in here. When we talk, I have two hats, right, bro? A brother and a pastor. Because I know he's part of our sheep, but he's also my brother. Guys, where does the devil live? In darkness. What footholds does he have? Because I'm drinking and smoking. You know what? Forget about all that garbage. That's stupid. We're more mature now. We understand what sin is. It's right here in the darkness that we never deal with. Those thoughts, those struggles. The Bible says that these demons are kept in eternal bonds. Isn't that terrible, guys, to be bound forever? To be bound forever. Chains. To look for help and we can't get it because we're too prideful to let go. The Bible says that Satan is in pits or bonds of darkness. That's where Satan is. Pits or bonds of darkness. What do we know about being in bondage, guys? You want to know where the devil is? He's where darkness is. That's where he's at. To live in darkness, darkness doesn't mean lightless regions, but moral darkness. It literally means to live without God. There are areas in our life that we're living without God in moral darkness. We're not just living in the absence of light, but we're living in the absence of God when we allow darkness and we don't fight this battle. Before you fight somebody, you have to fight up here. Huh? Because I have another story. There was this guy I was going to fight. His name was Mark. And I remember he was looking for me, but I knew he was a sensible guy. He was 6'2", and he was playing college football at Pasadena College. I was a senior in high school, and I knew I had to fight him. And we saw each other at a party, and I remember he came walking up to me, and I was looking at him, and I fought him in my mind, and he beat the tar out of me. And he walked up to me, and I said, Mark! I don't want to fight you. But I knew he was sensible. That's why I did it. And then he got in my face. I go, Mark, I don't want to fight you. Mark, I don't want to fight you. And then my friends started coming and people were, but I knew Mark was sensible. And he stepped back and he goes, it's cool, man. and he walked away. See, you all do that. You all think it right here, and when it comes out, it's not emotion. It's darkness that you've never dealt with. That's what it is. Say what it is. It's darkness. Uncrucified thoughts. And I ain't done either, guys. So get ready. Colossians 1:13, we have been delivered out of the dominion or the authority of darkness. Do you realize you have been delivered from that? Do you realize that God has broken those chains? Satan is in pits. He's in bonds of darkness. He's in regions in our minds and our lives that what? That are bound. You know, when I found out that I didn't have to be a drug addict, do you realize what that did for my life? When I found out that I can love my wife and my children, that I can be a man, that I don't have to be what everyone else is trying to be, do you know what that does for me, friend? Because when light comes and darkness is revealed, and you know what? I wasn't hurt by my dad. I only carried it. I wasn't hurt by that person. I only carried it. I want you to know something. When you don't kill those thoughts, then we act them out. And it becomes darkness. And this is how we live. There's a tolerance of sin that makes us vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. In Proverbs 20:27, the Bible says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. In Luke 11:35, it says this, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. Your spirit is a light. It's a lamp of the Lord. Jesus said, make sure that there's no darkness in you, because out of what's in your heart comes out of your life. There's something powerful here tonight, that the spirit, our spirit, is illuminated by God's spirit, and it becomes a lamp of the Lord through which he searches our hearts. We're not, guys, we don't come to God so we can be right. We don't come to God so we can search our hearts, so we can tell everybody, God showed me you're all going to hell. That's why I have a hard time believing people. I went to hell and God gave me a message. I went to hell. Let me tell you something. I didn't go to heaven or hell. I came to the altar and God gave me a message. And the message was hope and deliverance and freedom. The message was I didn't have to live in bondage. I didn't have to live my old life. That was the message, friend. I didn't go to heaven or hell. All I did was come to the altar and say, God, I got all these thoughts. I'm jacked up, and I need your help. Let me tell you guys something. Satan has legal access that's given by God to dwell in darkness. Let me say that again. Satan has legal access. God said, Satan, you dwell in darkness. Wow. He has legal access to darkness, guys. Darkness. When we hold darkness, when we allow darkness in our minds, he has legal access by God to come against us. Wow. Luke 22:31-32. Jesus tells Peter says, no one's going to come against you. No one will die for you. Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Satan wants to sift you. I love this. Because he doesn't say, but don't worry, I got your back, homie. He says, but I prayed for you, that when you fall, that you'll get up and you'll be a pillar. Now, I don't want to look at that, guys. This is what I want to look at, and I'm bringing it down right now. Peter is strong and fearless. Come on, somebody. He was a bad dude. He wasn't afraid of nobody. By nature, he was strong and he was fearless. Now, Jesus gives prophecy and insight for you and I to take a look at something. We look at this whole scene in a physical realm, but there's a spiritual realm. Satan wants permission to sift Peter. Satan has access to an area of Peter's life that's in darkness. He has access to his heart through Peter's pride because he's prideful. That's his armor. He's a mucho macho. He's a full man. This is the way I am. This is the way I have to be. Satan has access through that. And Jesus says, Satan wants to sift you. In Luke 22, 23, Jesus says, one of you guys are going to betray me. And so they're in shock. Like, who's going to do it? Who's going to betray me? I mean, they're freaking out. And they're discussing it. And then in verse 24, they're talking about who's the greatest among them. Okay, which one of you guys are gonna burn Jesus? Now they want to know who's the baddest. These guys went from an attitude of shock to an attitude of arguing. Have you ever done that? How could you do that? What's wrong with you? That's what they did. They went from shock to arguing. Peter was proud, and Satan knew that. We're prideful people, guys. We all are. All of us are. That's a darkness in us that we can't lead with. If you stick behind your pride, that's an armor, and God will never, ever use us. And that's how Peter was to this point. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before a fall. Pride is the cause of all our falls. Lucifer knew from experience the judgment of God. Let me close with this, guys. I'm going to close with this thought. This is a crazy thought. Listen, the devil knows through experience what? That pride will get you nowhere. He knows that. What do you know through experience? I don't want to know nothing through experience. I want to obey the word. Satan knows that he has legal access to our lives through an armor that we use to lead us. So what do we do? What did Peter do? What did he do? He fell. He got up. Jesus restored him. And how did he lead? Now he had wisdom. Let me tell you guys something. We don't need to go all crazy and wild on the devil. We need wisdom. Can I tell you what we need right now? Paul said, not Christ, but I, and to the Philippian church. He says, I tell you this. I'm not Paul, but can I tell you what we need to do, guys, as your pastor? You guys need to be accountable to my wife and I. You all do. Not so we don't want to know your problems, but we have wisdom, and we can help you with them. If you're a leader here, we don't need you to secretly do stuff. We need you to come and talk to us. We need you guys to get along. That's what we need. I can't make everybody connect. I can't do that. I can sit with the people from Praise Chapel National City. If you're really Praise Chapel, you got to stop saying Praise Chapel National City or Praise Chapel. We're Praise Chapel. We need to connect here, guys, and we're not. I know that we want to do a lot of stuff, but your marriages are more important. You connecting with each other are way more important. I'm not dumb. I've been doing this for 21 years. You just started. You know more than me. Listen, the devil has been tempting and destroying people's lives for thousands of years. We don't know more than him. We need wisdom. We need wisdom how to speak, how to love, how to live, how to worship. We need that. We need God's will, and we need discernment. We need to understand where the devil's coming. Guys, sometimes it's hard to open your hand, but you need to. You need to let go of pride. I think somewhere in all of us here, we're battling with pride. We really are. That's a darkness. That's where the devil dwells. He dwells in whatever's dark, whatever thoughts, whatever things that we've not crucified. Let me tell you guys something. And I've said this before. If I hurt you, I'll come and tell you I hurt you. I will. But I'm not the one who hurt you. God, that felt good. Say that, honey. And she's not either. We need to let our pride down. And before we do anything, everyone needs to connect. When I see that, when I see the leaders coming to me and my wife for prayer, instead of coming to tell us stuff, when all that happens, then we'll move. We'll go knock the devils, we'll beat the devil down. We'll go buy homes and open them up for prostitutes and abused women. We'll go buy homes for men. We'll go into the jails. When we all connect and your marriages connect, then we'll go kick the devil's butt. Until then, we're going to fight the battle here. Because that's more important. That's more important. You know what? I'm here. I need help with pride. I see the areas in my own life. I wouldn't be pastoring if I didn't, guys. But I see those things, so I'm here. All of us in this place have been battling with pride. And that's where the devil's been coming in. We need to repent from pride. Repent from those darkness in our minds that we haven't just been having those battles over and 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 over. Same battle. Fight it. Crucify it. Get the word of God and kill it. Destroy it. So I'm going to call you up. You've been battling with this. All of us have. Before you do anything, you got to take care of your family. You got to battle here in your mind if you're single. Before. You're more important to me than anything else. A name, a building, people, you guys are way too important. So I'm going to call you to come and repent today in the name of Jesus and let go. Oh, even that feels good. Johnny ain't singing today, by the way. So come. Come on. Don't be afraid. That's altar call, by the way. Come on. Bring it. Crucify those thoughts. Kill them. Get them. Some of you are battling right now, man. Kill those thoughts. This is your home. It's where you got saved. Come on up. Come on up. No music. We don't need music. We don't need music. Psh. All we need is the word of God, a soft heart. Come on up. Just feel it. Come on.